Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Lewis. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we continue to do is address the issues between rural and urban America. If you've been with me for the past couple of weeks, you know that I've been really focused, I would say not on purpose, but accidentally, because the attacks are everywhere, on the attacks on private property ownership. That might be land in the case of the Hammonds in the state of Oregon. It might be animals, as we talked about with Dan Christensen from South Dakota. I'm pretty confident, Betsy Fickle, by the end of this program, people listening are going to say, Trent, you have just found the worst injustice on animal and land ownership I have ever heard of in the United States. We'll find out if Betsy agrees. Joining us from North Central Iowa, Betsy Fickle, joining us, a concerned citizen and wanting to make sure that we maintain those founding father principles of private property ownership. Welcome to the program, Betsy.
Thank you, Trent.
And also joining us from New York, Sylvia Panetta, 43 years as a purebred dog breeder, and the individual that we ultimately are going to talk about and how her rights as an individual and American citizen have eroded. Sylvia, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Betsy, let's start with you. How do you solve it? Seems to me that if people are breeding or owning, say, 10 dogs, there's a level of attack because you can't properly take care of that many dogs. Is that your observation as well, no matter what state you're in?
It seems to be that what basically it's urban people's thoughts are, they don't understand the what we go through when we raise dogs on a higher level, a higher number, and they don't seem to comprehend or want to accept the fact that we do have people that come in and help us do that. You can take care of 10 dogs very easily, very properly.
Yeah, I personally think it's dangerous for anybody to tell an individual you can't take care of anything properly, whether you have one dog, 10 dogs, or 1,000 dogs. Sylvia Panetta from New York has got the situation here that we want to make sure people understand. First of all, 43 years breeding, was it Rottweilers for the entire time, Sylvia?
Originally, in the very beginning, also had German Shepherds and Dobermans, but I leaned over towards the Rottweilers full-time.
Where are you in New York, exactly?
I live in the town of Wallkill in Orange County. We're about 60 miles northwest of New York City.
Mm-hmm. When did you begin having problems with people thinking you didn't know how to take care of a dog?
Well, originally, an animal rights activist lived on my road, and it was a personal, vendetta, because she had no friends. I was her best friend, and we were only friends because her son was friends with my son. And when her son left to live with the father, I tried to wean him off me. Because she was animal rights and she kept asking me to do illegal things for her, etc. So as a result, she initiated 3 different raids against me.
How long, Sylvia, excuse me, how long ago are we talking right here?
92, 1995, and 1998. And nothing ever became of them. We never even went to a trial. It was all thrown out.
Okay.
She was affiliated with Pets Alive.
All right. And then?
Between 98 and 2012, there was nothing. There were no problems. I had been grandfathered from my original move here when I bought the property. At that time, there were no limits as to how many dogs I could have. I could have 1,000 dogs if I wanted to. I have a very large piece of property. I had 99 acres. in the woods, and wasn't, you know, the woods insulated the noise. I wasn't, never in the 30 years that I've been living here, ever had any kind of complaints about the dogs, ever.
I should point out that where you live, and you said a very large piece of property, 99 acres, that is a large chunk of property in your part of the world, right?
Yes, it's very large.
Mm-hmm. And Betsy, anytime that there's something you think that needs to be, you know, added or maybe we're leaving out, would you just jump in for us?
Okay.
All right. So,
okay.
So, Sylvia, 2012, what happened?
March 6th, 2012, my companion was, it was morning, my companion was letting the house dogs out one at a time to relieve themselves. And I was in the house taking care of a female that was had just started giving birth to puppies. I heard barking outside, and I just presumed that the dogs were playing and were barking at each other. When he was done letting the dogs out, I then proceeded at some point to drag a Very Kennel 700 crate outside to the front deck so that I could hose it out because the dog had spilled her food in there, so I wanted to clean the crate out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on the front deck hosing out this crate after I had cleaned off the deck, and these two police officers appear coming from the back of my property from where the dogs are, the kennel runs are. And I was shocked. I asked them what they were doing here, and the one officer said, "We're here on a welfare check," and very sarcastically said, "Are you okay?" And I replied, "Of course I'm okay." And he said, "By the way," just like that,
mm-hmm.
do you know that you have two dogs with broken legs?" And I responded that I don't have any dogs with broken legs. And he said, "Well, you do, and I want them." I said, "Well, you can't have any of my dogs. No, you know, nothing. No dog has a broken leg." I said, "And by the way, do you have a search warrant?" And he said, "No." And I said, "So you're telling me that on the guise of a welfare check, you're coming in here and you're doing an illegal search. You have no search warrant. You're breaking my biosecurity by doing so, and I'm going to have to ask you to leave." Well, they wouldn't leave. They kept trying to engage me in conversation, and I kept telling them to leave, and then finally they left. But they came back about four or five times again, creating more illegal searches, and then finally at 6:30 at night, came with a search warrant to take the two dogs. And they ransacked my house. The search warrant was, the application for the search warrant state was requesting a search warrant that they could not only just take dogs, but they could go inside my house and my barn and search the entire property because he's sure he will find other violations. So they were here on a witch hunt.
Is a broken leg a violation of some welfare clause in New York?
There's nothing specific. I mean, we have animal cruelty laws, but the dogs didn't have broken legs. They were born deformed.
Okay. Even if they had a broken leg, even if they have a deformed leg, that's part of animal ownership. It happens.
Well, I don't cull dogs. You know, if I have a puppy born with something wrong with it,
uh-huh.
for example, the deformity, I won't kill it because I can't use it for breeding. As long as the dog is healthy, as long as the dog is mobile, as long as the dog is happy, I let the dog live its life out. If I don't find someone to adopt it, the dog remains here until it dies of old age. These two dogs, in particular, one was the female, it had two deformed toes. The nails grew vertically. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
She looked different.
Sylvia Panetta, we have to take a break. Betsy Fickle also joining us. We will continue to walk you through what happened since 2012 in New York in terms of people who don't want you to own an animal. We'll be back with more Roll Out after this.
Folks, I realize there are many tremendous nonprofit organizations that you can contribute money and time to. The one that I truly appreciate and do not spend enough time with myself is the All-American Beef Battalion. The Beef Battalion is a group of individuals working within the United States beef cattle industry to say thank you to our troops fighting the global war on terror. 240,000 times, 240,000 ribeyes have been provided to these individuals in the past 6 years. Get more information and find out how to be involved with the All-American Beef Battalion by logging onto the website steaksfortroops.com. It'll be the most humbling time you ever spend.
Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce. Alongside today, we have two guests, Betsy Fickle joining us from North Central Iowa, the Mason City area, Sylvia Panetta joining us, 43 years as a dog breeder in New York, outside of New York City. And Sylvia, we'll have to be careful here, just as a heads up. 48 minutes sounds like a long time, but we can't get too hung up on any of the details because time will flash by. And Betsy's here to hold us, make sure that we don't leave anything out. You're good with that task, right, Betsy?
Well, I'll try.
All right. Are we doing okay so far, Betsy?
Yes, you are. What happened to Sylvia is what happens to so many other breeders that have been attacked by animal rights, such as Sharp Cyanic, Katie Dalton, the Sprakers out of New York, and so forth. And it has absolutely nothing to do with health, the conditions of the dog. It's mainly somebody's opinion that the dogs are not being raised in a manner which they think they should be raised. And a lot of times we see a lot of anthropomorphism, putting human characteristics on dogs. And there's no way that dogs will ever be human.
Nor should they be.
Push comes to shove, get dogs, period.
Yeah. I think this would be a good time, Sylvia, to jump nearly to the end. Well, not the end, but where you're at today. And then we'll come back and fill in the gaps. We laid the groundwork on day one pretty well. You're being told you're going to jail, correct?
Going to court Monday. I spoke briefly with my attorney yesterday, and the story has changed. I was supposed to have a trial. A bench warrant was issued because I ended up, on a day that I was supposed to appear in court, I ended up passing out, and my doctor had told me to go to the emergency room. I have sustained medical problems from medical injuries that I sustained the first time that I was illegally sent to jail with this issue.
The first time, how many times have you been sent to jail?
I've been sent to jail 3 times, and then this coming Monday will be number 4.
All stemming from two dogs.
This case.
All stemming from two dogs with abnormalities.
Well, they went further than the two dogs. I mean, they without my permission or knowledge or court order, and I wasn't even charged at the time. They amputated the dog's leg. They mutilated the two dogs that they seized originally on March 6th. They came back again. They did many illegal searches. They kept coming back and forth to the property without search warrants subsequent to that. And then finally came with another search warrant, which was defective. there was no application for that search warrant. The application wasn't signed and sworn to until the following day. So that search warrant was totally defective, but in essence, they were taking all my dogs. Everything that they did was literally contrary to law. Mm-hmm. They just did the actions and tried to back it up with the law, which wasn't feasible.
I know that once a seizure is enacted, everything is on the table for the law enforcement officials, whoever they may be. But you know, the one thing that jumped out at me as you talked about the first day is the police officer says that I have to take the dogs. Okay, even if the dogs are in dire need of something, I don't feel that the police officer is the person qualified to take that dog. And where's that police officer going to take the dog? The right thing to do would be leave it in the environment that it's in and get a veterinarian on site to do an evaluation, not to remove it from what it knows to be its home.
Well, they took the dog the first day and brought it to a vet. The vet did nothing with the dog. The second day, the dogs went to Pets Alive. The third day, the dog went to the vet that takes care of the Pets Alive animals. And the fourth day, he amputated the male's leg and amputated the female's paw. Mm-hmm. Surgery that was totally unnecessary, I think, was done just to build up the case.
Right, absolutely. The first veterinarian is the key. The first veterinarian did nothing because it recognized this is not an issue.
When I complained to the state Office of Professions, the first answer that came back from the vet was that I no longer own the dogs, which was false, and he could do whatever he wanted to the dogs. Mm-hmm. And when I corrected him, he suddenly turned around and said, well, he did the surgery because it was an emergency.
An emergency? How old was this dog?
5 years old.
This dog's 5 years old, been living with this birth defect since birth, and suddenly it's become an emergency?
Right. And the dog was not in any pain. He wasn't suffering from anything. He was very active. He was very happy. He was very healthy. There was nothing wrong with the dog except the deformity.
What is maybe most perplexing, Betsy, correct me if I'm wrong, but just I did not read word for word all the testimony. I perused through it kind of like a deer browsing, but I got the highlights, and it sounds to me like a lot of the people who originally started this ball rolling later admitted they made stuff up, and not just one person, a series of people that ultimately led you to the position that you're in today. How can this happen in today's justice system?
It happens when you have corruption in the system, when people conspire together to create a story and stick by it until the very end. I suppose because they do these cases all the time and the people back out and take pleas. Mm-hmm. They probably felt they could do what they want and I would take a plea and everything would get brushed under the carpet. But I didn't take a plea. Because I didn't do anything wrong. And I lost all my dogs. I lost my source of income. As a result of them taking my puppies, the money for that I was going to get for the puppies was to go for my taxes. Since I didn't have that money, the county has taken title of my house, and I will be homeless shortly.
You even had two judges that were apparently brothers who had to recuse themselves from this?
I don't think
Hollywood can be as creative as what I've read about this case, Sylvia.
Well, the first judge, Patrick Owen, refused to appoint an attorney for me. So the entire time of going through all of these court appearances and hearings and so forth, I had no attorney by my side. They just did whatever they wanted to do, and they did it, and I just stood there. When I requested an attorney, I had told Patrick Owen, I said, look, you know, I have a constitutional right to an attorney. And his reply was, and I have a right to move this case forward. And he did, without an attorney. It wasn't until after all the damage was done that an attorney was appointed.
Mm-hmm.
who eventually withdrew from the case because he admitted he was not familiar with the law. The court had not given him a complete file. He'd never done a case like this before. He was called in the day we were having the hearing for the security bond. He asked for an adjournment. He said, I have not even met with the client. I don't know what the case is about. We haven't discussed it. I'm not familiar with this type of law. I've never done a case like this, so he asked for an adjournment, and Patrick Owen refused. So we went through the security bond hearing, and I lost all the dogs as a result. I filed notice of claims against the police, against the town, against the judges, and Judge Patrick Owen and his brother Joseph Owen both recused themselves. Judge Patrick Owen authorized an illegal order of protection. The following day, the animal rights people filed fabricated depositions that I violated it, the illegal order of protection, and I was sent to jail where I sustained injuries, including a traumatic brain injury and extreme claustrophobia and medical problems. Subsequent to that, August of, 13, the new judge threw the order of protection out because it was illegal. So I went through all of that for nothing, you know, and now I have these medical problems that cannot be corrected.
Sylvia,
I'm suffering.
Sylvia, we have to take a break. We'll be back. Betsy Fickle is alongside. Sylvia Panetta is our guest. We'll take a break and be back with more Roll Route after this.
What role does nitric oxide play in your health? Well, let me just give you three things. Heart health, blood pressure, bone health. That's where it starts. And don't forget about mental health. All stems from the proper nitric oxide production in your body. And what I do to ensure that is Neo40.com. Order it online, Neo40.com, then put Trent in the coupon code, and you pay no shipping.
Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce. We are seeking injustices again today on property owners, animal or landowners. In this case, it's both. Sylvia Panetta, our guest from New York, not looking forward to next week because she is told she's going back to jail for the fourth time because two dogs were born with a birth defect. Betsy Fickle's joining us from North Central Iowa. And Betsy, you had a little bit of an analysis that you wanted to share with us.
Yes. I have a couple of thoughts about why the raid happened on Sylvia, but also a lot of others too. And usually there is some type of an ulterior motive, whether it may be revenge or somebody has big dollar signs in their eyes.
Right.
And with Sylvia holding 91 acres of prime residential property, in my opinion, there may be some type of a land grab involved here.
Mm-hmm.
And with all these illegalities being perpetrated against her, she has fought them and fought them. She has contacted various state officials with complaints and the resources to back those complaints up, and she gets absolutely nowhere. It seems to be a combination of greed and the good old boys club.
Betsy, I want to make a somewhat of an analysis on what I know right now, and I agree with what you said, but I think there's another component here, and because I'm not a dog breeder per se. I'm an animal owner. I own cattle working dogs. I do breed them, but I don't consider myself a dog breeder. I do breed cattle, horses, and pigs, and don't quite frankly think there's a difference, that people don't want us to do that either. I think that equal to what's going on and what started the juices flowing is that in today's world, because she's a dog breeder of Rottweilers, Rottweilers in most people's mind is equivalent to a handgun. And there's somebody in the area, in the community, that just despises that she breeds Rottweilers and thinks that's anti-human, and they decided they're going to make her pay, and they're going to take everything she ever owned. Betsy, do you think that's fair?
that is another very realistic possibility.
Sylvia, do you believe that there's any value in that?
I believe it's mostly the animal rights mentality of shutting down all breeders. Mm-hmm. Because Joe Castle, the contractor that was here, did not reveal until he was leaving that he was animal rights.
Whoa, we don't know about a contractor. You didn't tell us about a contractor. That's who originally filed the complaint?
Indirectly. He was here to give me an estimate for damages created by Hurricane Irene. FEMA wanted an estimate.
Okay.
So he came, and when he left, he was telling me that he used to be president of the Goshen Humane Society for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
He never saw the dogs up front. He could see in the back that there were a lot of dogs back there, but he couldn't see anything else. And 2 days later, he called a friend of his who does horse rescue, who works for the Office for the Aging, and asked her to call the police to file a complaint. And I have a recording of that phone call. And all it is an unfounded zoning allegation about a large amount of dogs. I was never mentioned in that conversation. Therefore, it shows that they did come under the guise of a welfare check, when in fact it was just a zoning allegation. But the police needed their way to get their foot in the door without having probable cause.
Mm-hmm. I am not going to, for a very intended purpose, ask you how many dogs they took, how many you owned, or what a lot of dogs were. That was your phrase, a lot of dogs. It doesn't matter. There could be three, there could be 300 back there. I don't care. It doesn't matter and should not matter. This is a violation of your personal property rights. So I want you to expand up on something else. You actually got a traumatic brain injury while in jail?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, I originally had 15 herniated discs, and when I was put into the police car, there was no place. The front seat was—it just couldn't accommodate a disabled person. And I told them that I couldn't travel like that to jail, and they told me to get in. There was no other way of transporting me. By the time before we even got to the jail, I had passed out. I was semi-conscious. I had fallen over to the side, and they didn't even realize that I wasn't upright anymore. They had to drag me out of the car. I was unable to move, and they put me in a wheelchair, which created nerve compressions so that I started muscle spasms. It looked like I was having an extremely powerful convulsion.
Mm-hmm.
And they left me like that, convulsing. I wasn't really convulsing. It was muscle spasms. But I'm just using that as an easy way to describe it.
Great division.
For over two hours. So it seems that my insides were displaced. My head, kept banging over to the left. Extremely powerful. I could feel things moving in my body. And they left me like that for over 2 hours. And that's how I got the head injury, with the constant banging into my skull, and the internal injuries.
You know what infuriates me about this? Meanwhile, everybody's worried about the dogs, not Sylvia Panetti.
Well, they were making jokes. They were coming over and saying, listen, we're going to contact the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest seizure. They wouldn't do anything to help me, but they were mocking me.
Uh-huh.
One police officer yelled down from the podium, do you want to have sex with me? And because I was convulsing over to the left, he says, well, I guess that means no. He was asking questions. I was too weak to answer. He came down, put his mouth up against my right ear and screamed into my ear, can you hear me now? And jumped away and started laughing and went back. That's how I was treated in jail.
Does anybody care about that? Is anybody listening to this abuse to a human being? Sylvia?
Yeah, there were other people there.
I mean, what's your recourse for this type of treatment?
Well, I guess a lawsuit at some point. You know, I have to find a lawyer that'll take this all on. This case is so big. I mean, I haven't been able to find lawyers because the case is too big, and the lawyers don't have the money to finance such a large lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
What I would like to talk about is, you know, the trial that I had.
Okay.
And just mention that Officer Farningham, who originated this instigation, admitted at trial that he lied. He admitted that he did an illegal search. He admitted that he could not see, contrary to his lying version of what happened when he first came here, he admitted in trial that he was not able to see the dog from the house. He and other officers made statements that my house was in complete disarray, that there was feces and urine in the dog crate, that the air was so stagnant you couldn't breathe, and that there was urine and feces all over the house.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he said, and he was backed up by several other officers. Unfortunately, you know, the photographs showed nothing. The photographs showed clean crates, showed the house was not in disarray. There was no feces or urine on the floor. They had pictures of the floor. There was nothing there. The floor was clean. But where I lucked in was where the Adult Protective Services was there the same time they were, the social worker. And in her file notes, and she testified that she was there when they were, that the house was clean and spacious and there was no clutter. And that there was no feces or urine anywhere. So 18 charges got thrown out at trial pertaining to, you know, the stagnant air.
Why wouldn't the entire case be thrown out if right there we've proven that law enforcement officials perjure themselves?
Because Judge Stephen Brockett is trying very hard to protect his cronies. When I first went into his court, I told him that I was asking for a change in venue because there's a conflict of interest, and he wouldn't do it. So he is in power to make sure that I get buried so that I can't sue any of his friends. His ex-partner, his ex-judge partner, is also the attorney for the town of Wallkill, and he's also the attorney for the city of Middletown, where the case is now being heard.
Okay.
And he's one of the people that is a defendant on my notice of claim.
Okay, wait a minute. What I think I just heard you say was that the current judge over your case, was former law partner with the
Not
guy.
Not law partner. In court, they were both judges.
Oh, okay.
Richard Gerton was a judge in the city of Middletown.
Okay. Sylvia, this is a good time to say we've got to take a break. I lost somebody. We'll find out what's going on. Technically, we'll be back with the final segment of Rural Routes after this.
All right. While we find them, let's check in on the world of marketing cattle the superior way. I shipped my calves yesterday. They were sold in August. Picking the right time to sell is largely dependent upon your rep. Find the right rep. Here's what's going on in the world of the country page. A lot of cattle posted in the past couple of days. These posted already today. Mountain Grove, Missouri, 177 weaned heifer calves, 540 pounds. Here are the steer mates, 255 weaned steer calves, 575. They are delivered the first half of November. Another set from Missouri. This is a split load, 32 weaned steer calves, 20 weaned heifer calves. Edgar Springs, Missouri, all with the same wreck. Mick Plummer, he's busy. Another grove from Mountain View, Missouri, 77 weaned calves. Mountain View, Missouri, 92 weaned calves. It's Missouri Day on the country page. All of those cattle posted this week since Monday. Posted on Tuesday, 105 weaned heifer calves. And Bryan, Texas, they sold already. Alzada, Montana, those cattle sold. Independence, Virginia, those cattle are just, they sold. Everything's selling on the country page. It's an exciting week again in the cattle business. Ebbs and flows, which means you have to be working with somebody you can trust. Superior, that's the outfit for me. SuperiorLivestock.com.
Welcome back to Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce. We are into the final segment. Technology, wonderful. Betsy Fickle when it works, but it's always fixable. We've got both young ladies back. Sylvia Panetta joining us, 43 years as a dog breeder from New York, facing jail time for the fourth time next week. We're going to get back to her and what this case has really evolved into. And by the way, I want to remind everybody, this is about two dogs born with a birth defect. That's it. That's what we're talking about. And it has led to four jail times and traumatic brain injury on behalf of Sylvia Panetta. Betsy, you had a couple observations from the trial that just absolutely does not make sense to me.
Well, in my opinion, I believe this judge is extremely prejudiced and is doing all within his power to continue in the destruction of Sylvia, in that during the trial, Sylvia was only allowed to present three pictures in her defense. The prosecution was allowed to present an unlimited number of pictures. But unfortunately, the prosecution didn't realize that a lot of their pictures refuted the very testimony of their witnesses. And some of those pictures showed a setup.
A setup?
That, correct. Just like in the Dan Christensen case.
Absolutely.
They would go in and create conditions to make it look bad, when it was not in reality the way the property was kept or the dogs were kept. And this does nothing to enhance their case, so to speak, to build up sympathy and create even more prejudice against Sylvia and any dog breeder, for that matter. There are pictures that they have posted on a Facebook site called Justice for Walkill Roddy, and that will show some of the created conditions, such as junk piled around a kennel, muddy pens, and so forth. The animal rights are very, very astute at going in and creating these conditions, taking pictures and saying, oh my gosh, look how horrible these are, when in reality, that's not the way it is.
And Betsy, I heard the same exact language from Sylvia that Dan Christensen shared, that the entire world will see and hear when The Wrong Side of Right, the Hollywood production that I was very fortunate to be in attending of the premiere this summer, it's going to be out the first of the year. The terms, the language, the way that they go about this is all calculated. It's a blueprint on how to take down a dog owner, and it's repeatable. It's exact. They always do it the same way, and it's about... Furthermore, if Sylvia or Trent or Betsy has feces and urine in your house, who cares? If you're dumb enough to live with that's your fault. It's not some law issue that they should deal with. Yes, Betsy.
And as Sylvia was saying, and as you well know, there is this mindset to destroy all dog breeders.
Animal owners.
I attended the preview of that Wrong Side of Right when it was held down in Ames, Iowa. Afterward, they had discussions, and it was openly stated the whole purpose of the movie was they hoped it would do what Blackfish did to SeaWorld. They want to destroy the dog breeding industry.
Let me clarify, Betsy, let me clarify what you just said so people don't misunderstand that. The wrong side of right is to bring awareness to how people try to destroy the dog breeding industry. The movie's intent is not to destroy the dog breeding industry. It's to bring an awareness to how that industry ownership. It's just.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I should have said it was the dog by dog movie.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I know the intent of the wrong side of right, and I just want to make sure that
that was my error.
Yeah.
My mouth got ahead of my brain, I guess.
Yeah, I've never had that happen, so it's easy for me to be critical. I was crossing my fingers because I didn't want my mom to know I was lying. Anyway, Sylvia, I want to spend the rest of it. You've got a trial coming up. I mean, where do you stand now? What's the legal situation you're in right now?
Well, I was found guilty of animal cruelty. The charges, by the way, I was charged incorrectly. That's another reason the case should be thrown out. But they used the wrong statutes to charge me. But I was convicted of animal cruelty, 55 counts of not having appropriate dog houses. I have the giant dog blue houses that are for 150-pound dogs. The federal government, APHIS, recommends these houses, but yet the district attorney felt that this was not appropriate housing for my dog, which was, you know, nonsense. Right now, what happened was I was supposed to appear in court, and I had passed out, and I immediately emailed the then attorney that I probably would not be able to make it to court because I would be in the emergency room. The doctor called me back and insisted that I go to the emergency room. In the meantime, the judge, even though it was confirmed that I was there, he issued a bench warrant. He had already previously told me that he doesn't believe I'm sick, and he thinks that when I go to the emergency room, I'm lying, I'm making it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he stated in court, he said anybody could say they passed out, and of course the doctor will tell him to go to the emergency room. He says, I don't believe you. So he issued a bench warrant. I got home from the hospital, and there was an email from my lawyer saying that the only way that the bench warrant would be vacated would be as if I was admitted to the hospital. Well, of course, they don't do that here because of, you know, the Obamacare and Medicare. They tell you to go see your own doctor. Do everything as an outpatient. They just check to see that you're stable, and then they discharge you. I hadn't heard from my attorney for 15 months after that. Did not hear from the police, did not hear from the court. With my understanding with my traumatic brain injury, I just presumed that the judge finally realized that I do have serious medical problems, and they're allowing me to investigate that and get taken care of. After 15 months, several months before that, the police came to my house on a 911 call, and nothing was ever mentioned about a bench warrant. So I figured he had vacated it. Well, one day, and I remember this because this was my father's birthday, March 13th of this year, 2015. I was at the doctor's office and went to the pharmacy to pick up medication, and I saw my lawyer that I hadn't heard from in 15 months. He asked me if I was still living at the same place, and then he proceeded to call the court and have them pick me up. I was not aware that if there's a bench warrant that you have 30 days to turn yourself in. I am not familiar with that law. Why should I be? I'm just a citizen. I'm not a lawyer. But I did not turn myself in. I did not know I was supposed to. My lawyer never told me to turn myself in. So because I was out on a bench warrant, I'm going to trial on Monday. He originally said that I could pay $1,000 fine and that would be the end of it. But then he thought some more. That was his decision. And then he thought some more. And then he said, no. He said, I want to take this to trial because he realized he could do more harm to me than, you know, just a $1,000 fine. Like, you'd stick me back in jail, and I would be inoperable. I couldn't do anything to fight my case.
Mm-hmm.
So now the deal is I either accept a plea, which means that I go to jail for 6 months, and I'm not able to appeal this. He won't let me appeal it. That's part of the plea.
Oh, that's part of the plea. By the way, I just want to let people know that in case they think you're embellishing any part of this sexual harassment that you faced or the corruption in the police department, while you were talking about that, I simply did a Google search and I put in Wall Hill corruption. It's not even a secret, Sylvia. The corruption is exposed by people back 10, 12 years.
Yes, they had federal monitors. Yes, the Attorney General Spitzer at that time considered the town of Walk Hill police dangerous, and he appointed federal monitors to watch them for a few years and monitor their activities. So it's known that they're a problem police force.
Right. We have 1 minute. Sylvia, what do we need to most know about your situation and this attack on animal ownership?
Well, I just want to say that at trial, Officer Plummingham admitted that he lied. The Adult Protective Services refuted all the testimony that he and other officers gave, and it was another opportunity where the judge could have thrown the case out, and he didn't. This whole thing was based on actions that were contrary to law. Nothing went according to law. Defective search warrants, multiple illegal searches, no attorney, many, many reasons why the case should have been thrown out and it wasn't. They're just conspiring to protect each other and cover up what they did. They never expected me to go this far.
And in summary, because one person fabricates the abuse of two dogs, Sylvia Panetta is not only facing a minimum of 6 months in jail, she has lost 100 acres that they've just point blank, as Betsy Fickle said, implemented a land grab. You can trust we'll have more about this in the near future. My sincere thanks and best wishes to Sylvia Panetta joining us from New York. Betsy Fickle from Iowa, I appreciate it. Both of you ladies, please keep me informed, and I will do that for the same for the listeners. We've successfully journeyed down the road connecting rural and urban America. All three of us remind you that all roads do lead to a rural route.
And finally, today in the world of proper nutrition and animal welfare, feed them right and all of the immune systems and everything else from a health perspective will work. Turn to Alltech. Actually, whether it's your dog, your horse, or your chicken, your goat, your sheep, why did I start this, or your fish, Alltech has the proper ingredients. Feed them naturally. Alltech.com.